to the book of Psalms, Psalms 119. You know, as I was taking my time to seek the Lord, and I'm asking him for a word. You know, and Elder Paul, he tells me all the time, he said, I know you've been gone so long, I know you got a service that lasts for the next year. He says that every time. And every time I tell him, I said, no, I don't. You know, God does not use me that way. I know some pastors, they have sermons that they have for 3 months, 6 months, some to a year. I know one pastor has enough sermons for a whole year. But God don't use me like that. You know, how God uses me is, you know, to give you a fresh word, a word in due time, a word for the people who come in here that hear the word and accept the word and walk in the word. Amen. Because I don't want a stale word. I want a fresh word. I want something that applies to my daily life that I can take and I can go out here and use it each and every day to glorify God, to bring glory to his name. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's spontaneous. A lot of times, you know, a Saturday night, I'm saying, Lord, you know, a Saturday night, you know, tomorrow's Sunday, like he don't know. I need a word, Lord, need a word. But he's always been faithful. He's always been faithful. So anyway, Psalms 119, I'm going to start in verse 9. But anyway, I want to talk about one thing this morning and give an understanding about it this morning. I want to talk about this one thing that you will be able to understand it. And we hear it all the time. Matter of fact, I've said it several times already. I want to talk about one word. And that's the word. That's the word. W-O-R-D. That's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, God has really imparted within me about this word. What does it truly mean? We use it so much, but I want to talk about a word that comes from God. And so in Psalms 119, starting at verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man or young woman cleanse his ways? Wherewithal shall a young person cleanse his ways? And it says, by taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. Who's the thy? God. This is God. To heed, therefore, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word, there it is in. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, what word are we talking about? What, you know, we hear the word. How many words are there? There's plenty of words. But there's only one word. There's only one word that really matters. And that's the word of God. Amen. And it says that with my whole heart, not half of it, not 75% of it, not 99.999%, but with my whole heart. And only when we come with our whole heart. To love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. That's the first commandment. With everything within us, are truly surrendering our heart and mind and soul. Thy word I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So what King David is saying is, this word that he has put it in his heart and hid it from the world. That this word that's within his heart will cause him not to sin. I don't know about you, but I need that. I need that. I need something within me to keep me from falling, you know, back into the ways of the world. You know, because we all come out of the world, every one of us. I don't care if you was raised in the church, that your daddy was the pastor, your mama was a piano player, your granddaddy was the elder. I don't care nothing about that. But individually, we all need to have that word within us to keep us walking that path of righteousness and godliness. Now, it says in verse, I'm going to go down to verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes and I will not forget thy word. Let me read that again. I will delight myself in thy statutes. And the statutes are what God commands of us, the things that are non-negotiable. You understand? Things that are non-compromised. You don't compromise with this here. I will delight myself. Said, I will do it. I will do it. Not that you should do it, but I will do it. And yes, you should do it. But first of all, we need to do it ourselves. I will do it. I will make myself to a point that this is what I'm going to do. Regardless if you like it or not, regardless if the world likes it or not, or regardless if I don't feel good, I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. In the time that we're living here now, every day we're hearing about mass shootings. We're hearing about all the crime and all the things that are going on, the overdoses and different things that are going on in the world, the wars and different things like that. You know, it's yes, we understand and we know about these things, but we cannot let these things affect us. We cannot let these things steal our joy and our peace. Because Jesus said, I come to give you joy unspeakable. I come to give you peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of what's going on. And let me tell you something. It ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Because Jesus said so. Whether you believe it or not, don't make it that you are true. The word of God is true. Now let's go to Psalms 119, 105. This is what God gave me. Psalms 119, 105. When you get to say amen. Here we go again. Thy word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He continues and continues and continues to talk about thy word. Not First Baptist word. Not New Life's word. Not First Press's word, not even pastor's word, but God's word, period. God's word, period. It says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does a lamp do? It shines light. When you drive at nighttime, what do? Your lights come on, right? Why does the light come on? So you can see what's in front of you. But you can only see so far. You can't, if I'm going to, let's say, to the mall at nighttime, when I pull out of the driveway and I turn my lights on, it'll have me where I can see at the end of the drive here. And then when I turn right here to go down, go around the square, it gives me light to go around the square. But it does not give me light all the way to the mall, does it? But as I continue on going that way, I'm able to see a little further, a little further. See, so God don't give you the word or the light and to take you to your future. It takes you to just where he wants you to go. And then as you go there, he'll give you that word, that light to go a little further and a little further. The more you go, the more light that you have to go. But where are you going? Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a lamp to my ways. Your ways are going where? I'm glad you asked me. Of following Jesus. That's what the pathway is. That's what the light is for. Matter of fact, that's who the light is. Now let's go to, I told Elder Paul, I talked to Elder Paul last week, and I told him, I said, I got a powerful word, and it's probably going to be 3-4 hours a day. I hope y'all brought your lunch. Did you bring your lunch? No? Well, you're going to be hungry. All right. We might take a break in a couple of hours and y'all can run downstairs and get a cookie or something. Mm-hmm. Chad, I know you said, Lord, why did I come today? But we're going to be here about 3-4 hours. All right, maybe. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it says, verse 106. I have sworn and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgment. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. There it is again. Quicken me according to thy word. What does that mean? To make me alive, make me aware of your word, Lord. I don't know about you, but I heard a statistic here a little while ago that the average Christian in America only reads their word about 3 minutes. Ain't that something? The average Christian in America only reads their word about 3 minutes. But yet, the average Christian has time to do all kind of other stuff, don't we? Now, 130. Go to verse 130 in Psalms 119. The interest of, there we go again, thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Because I fall into that category of the simple. You know, I'm a simple person, so you don't have to ever worry about me having big words. You don't have to worry about that. And a lot of the words I do say is not really proper grammar. Amen, Mark? Yes. But, I want to make it whereas you understand it, whether it's proper English or not. I want to make it so you can understand it. Because if you have no understanding of the Word of God, how are you going to apply it? So we have to make it simple. We have to come as a child for the Word to take root within us. Thy Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Only that word within me will keep me from walking in sin. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. None of us are perfect. None of us. We all have bad decisions and wrong thoughts at different times. But the thing about that is you don't continue to have them over and over and over and over again. Because let me tell you, that word within you will convict you. When we do have wrong thoughts and bad decisions or whatever that we do or choices that we enter into, if you truly are saved, if you truly are saved and the Holy Spirit is living within you, you cannot continue to live in that sin and that sinful lifestyle. Over and over and over again. The Bible says you can't do it. You can't. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit was living in me. That the things that I was doing when I first got saved, I continued to do them after I got saved. But that Holy Spirit was convicting me to a point where I said, I can't keep on doing these things like this here. I can't continue to live in sin and ask God to forgive me over and over and over and over again and thinking that was okay. Yes, God is a forgiving God. Absolutely it is. But we have to do our part. If that word is within you, that is hidden in your heart, you won't continue in sin day after day, month after month, year after year. So now we've been talking about the word. Let's see what the word really is, what the truly is. Turn to the book of John, John 1. Let's see what the meaning of the word is. What is the word? What is the meaning of the word? We've been heard it over and over and over and over and again. What is the true meaning of the word of God? When you get to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word. Okay, there we go. In the beginning was the word. So we know that this word that we're talking about, it has always been. It was not manufactured. Wasn't made up. In the beginning was the Word. Okay. All right, so in the beginning was the Word. So what's the rest of it? What is the Word? And the Word was with God. Okay, so now we're getting someplace. We know in the beginning, the Word was with God from the beginning of everything. But what is the Word? It was there in the beginning. It was with God. And the Word was God. All saints. And the Word was God. And the same that was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things. Who's the Him? The Word. All things are Word made by Him. Talking about the Word. The Word in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him, the Word was not anything made that was made. In Him, the Word was life, and the life was the light of man. Woo! The Word was the light of man. So now we're going from the Word to the light. We got Word and we got light. Do you know they're the same thing? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now let's go down to 14 so we can make it plain. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Uh-oh. From the beginning, the Word was with God. In the beginning, the Word was God. But now, it says, the Word that was with God from the beginning, it came down and became flesh. So now, the Word has a form. It has something that we can relate to. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who are we talking about? In the beginning was Jesus Christ, period. And Jesus Christ, period, was with God. And Jesus Christ, period, is God. How about that? The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, it's the Trinity. We call it the Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But that's what that means. The three in one. You know, I've had people ask me, I don't understand the Trinity, and I don't either. I don't think anybody understands. But this is what I give to give you a little perspective of what a little bit of what Trinity means. I am the son of Andrew Smith. I am the father of my children. Okay? But I'm still the son, and I'm the father, and I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church. I have three different roles, but I am one person. You understand what I'm saying? When I'm with my parents, I have the role of a son. When I'm with my children, I have a role of a father, which is different from the role of a son. And as your pastor, I have a role of an under-shepherd. So all three of those different things that I walk in, I live in, there are three different offices, but I'm the same person with that. But that's not even doing it justice, to be honest with you. It's really not. And that Trinity truly is a mystery. I don't think none of us or nobody has ever grasped that, and I don't think we'll ever will on this side of glory. Now, when we get to glory, when we get to paradise, when we get to heaven, I'm going to say, Jesus, explain this Trinity to me. Give me an understanding of it. Plus a few other things I got to ask you. A few other things. But anyway, the Word was made flesh. So we're talking about Jesus. See, all of this here, even back in Psalms, in the Old Testament, it all comes back to Jesus. So many people say, oh, you know, the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament is the law and this, that, and the other. Yes, the Old Testament is the law. Yes, it is, absolutely. But it's all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's Jesus. And if y'all not coming to adult Sunday school at 9:30 in the morning, y'all missing it, because Brother Al is teaching the whole book of Revelation. The whole book of Revelation he's going through, and he's doing a marvelous job with it. And I take my hat off to him, you know, for doing that. And I'm just so blessed that he's bringing us understanding of the book of Revelation. Because it's a tough book. I ain't going to lie to you. It's a tough book. But anyway, so we understand now thy word is Jesus. So King David says, Jesus have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee, Lord. The thing that I have in my heart within me will keep me from sinning against you. And the same thing now, the same things apply. That if we keep Jesus in us, Jesus said in John, he said, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It all comes down to Jesus. We have to have Christ within us. At the moment of salvation, when we first got saved, you know, once we got saved, on that day that we surrendered our life to Jesus Christ, Jesus told his disciples, I must leave you now. Because if I don't, I will not be able to give you the word. I will not be able to give you another of my kind, which is the Holy Spirit. And once again, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? We talked about God. We know God the Father in the beginning. We talked about Jesus. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? Once again, all three in one. All three in one. So when we have the Holy Spirit within us, we have Jesus in us. He said, I will not leave you as often. He said, I will send another of my same kind. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, do you know he traveled no more than 300 miles? But now, with the Holy Spirit, it's all around the world. It's all around the world. Everywhere, Jesus is present because of the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us. If we fill our minds and hearts with the word of Jesus, we will have the light we need to do what we should do each and every day. Let me read that again. If we fill our minds and heart with the word of God, which is Jesus, we will have the light we need. Remember we talked about that? The word is thy a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. And if you come to me, you know, I will put that light within you. That light will shine in you. Jesus said, I've come to make you the salt and the light of the world. Ain't even what it said? What does that mean? Salt is a preservative. It gives you flavor. You know, sometimes, you know, people, I might not say that, I should say it. But sometimes you need to add a little flavor. Huh? Sometimes you might need a little flavor, you know, in what you eat. And when you add a little flavor, what is it? It makes it taste better, don't it? It makes it taste better. And so, and also not only is it a preservative and it's a influence, but it's a healing property also. It's a preserving property also. Do you know the Roman soldiers back in the day, they used to get paid their weight in salt. They didn't get any money. They were paid in salt. Whatever they weighed, they would get up on a scale. And then whoever the salt keeper was, he would give them the salt which they weighed. And they would take that salt and they would trade it, barter, for whatever they needed. You see. So Jesus says, I come to make you the salt and the light. So what he's saying is that light is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is within us. So as we walk in our workplaces, when we walk in the grocery stores, when we walk into our family homes, we should be betraying and showing Jesus. We should be showing Jesus. Brother Priest was talking about today that we are called to be a different from the world. We're not to be the same as the world because the world is walking in darkness. But when we walk into the world, when we walk into a room, we bring the light of Jesus Christ with us. You know, I told y'all back, it's been quite a few years ago, me and some of my relatives, we used to do the pay-per-view fights, have all the fights, you know what I mean? You go down, and my brother-in-law had a great big old flat-screen TV. This is about when the first flat-screen, they were about that big, and they about that wide. Huh? Y'all remember them? Back then, it was great. And so we would all go to his house and watch the fights. Then all of a sudden, you know, I would hear about the fight the next day. And I'm thinking, why didn't y'all call me and tell me about the fight? Well, you know, when you come over, we can't do some of the things that we like to do. You understand what I'm saying? When you go over and you sit and then all of a you know how ladies, and I don't understand still why y'all do this, but you know, y'all go to the bathroom together. Three or four of y'all go to the bathroom together. You know, so we're sitting down there and you got 8 or 9, 10 guys, and all of a sudden, one get up and all of them get up. I'm thinking. But what they're doing, they're all going out and getting high. They wouldn't do it in front of me, you see. And so what I was doing, I was messing up their party. So they quit inviting me because they felt convicted when I was around them. You understand what I'm saying? But one time, I was a part of them. One time, I was the one saying, come on, y'all, I got it, come on. But when Jesus got a hold of me, when that word got in me, when that light starts shining through me, oh, now people who are walking down don't have nothing to do with me. I told y'all that I had a cousin. She told me, she said, you know what? You used to be the partier, used to be the one who was always having a good time and everything else. She said, and now you done gone to this Jesus. You done gone too far with this Jesus stuff. I looked at her and said, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was. But she was trying to say it as, you know, to get on. Oh, you done gone too far with this Jesus stuff because, you know, you used to be the party and used to be the ringleader and all that, you know. And now, you know, you done gone too far with Jesus. And don't you know, about 5 or 6, 7 years later, and she lived out of town. She lived down in, she lived somewhere. Anyway, she was here visiting. And she came to church, and she said, right back there with my dad and Kathy. And I gave an altar call. And who you know came down here? Oh, and she came down with tears in her eyes. Oh, you talking about being blessed. Because this one was upset with me because I wouldn't party with him no more. Done gone too far with this Jesus stuff. And now here she comes. You see, here she comes now because, and I'm going to tell you that one of the reasons why is because her Uncle Smitty, she used to know how Uncle Smitty used to be before he got saved. When my dad got saved, he radically got saved. Trust me. And my family saw the change in my dad. It wasn't just for one Sunday or two Sundays or three Sundays. They saw the change in my dad's life. Now, see, they didn't know me when I was a heathen. Because I didn't come up here until 94. Or no, 95. I came up here in 95. I got saved in 94. You know, I still had a little residue of the world on me, though. I'm just being honest. You know, little residue of the world, little weekend warrior. You know what I mean? On the weekend, you know what I mean? Little taste of this, little dib a dab of that. But as that word continued to grow in my heart, as that light of the Holy Ghost starts shining in me, it starts shining through me. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm not perfect today. I still have issues and I still struggle. But let me tell you something. Like I said, this all the time, I'm not where I should be and not where I'm going to be, but I'm not where I used to be either. You see, I'm not playing church. I'm not here on Sunday, you know, putting up a thing for y'all. And then on Monday, you know, I'm back in darkness. No. Absolutely not. Because the day is going to come is when Jesus comes back. And I'm going to have to stand before him. And guess what? Not only am I going to have to stand before him, you're going to have to stand before him too. And don't be like them five virgins. There were 10 virgins that was waiting for the master to come back. In the night, they said, the master's coming back. Five of them went forth with their light shining in the lamps. And five did not have the light within. They wasn't ready. They were still servants, but they wasn't ready. You understand what I'm saying? Many in the last days will say, Lord, Lord. I went to First Baptist Church for years. Lord, Lord. I went to visit the sick. I gave money to the poor. Lord, Lord. I'm ready to come into the kingdom. And my prayer is that none of you will ever hear these words. Depart from me. I never knew. Well, wait a minute, Lord, Lord. I went to church for years. Yeah, you went to church, but you never had a personal relationship with me. You see, when you went to church, you had a mask on. And you were playing a different role when you was in church. Or when you saw the church people out at the store. No, we have to have that word hidden in our heart that we might not sin against thee. That light that reflects Jesus Christ in our families. And a lot of family members are going not going to like you. A lot of your old friends are not going to like you. A lot of people, do you know there's more and more and more of Christians being persecuted this time in the history of mankind? And more and more and more. They're taking Christ out of the schools. They're taking Christ out of the government. They're taking Christ out of everything. Everything. Do you know, I was talking to a pastor here a couple of weeks ago. And he says, they have a new AI thing. What is that? Artificial intelligence. Yeah. That a lot of pastors, what they do is, they will put just a title of a sermon and the artificial intelligence will type out your sermon. And he said, they're great sermons, but they're all man-made. You see what I'm saying? They're all man-made. It might sound good to you, might feel good to you, but there's no light in that. There's no power in it. And that's what's going on with a lot of America today. You know, people are preaching and they're teaching and it sounds good and it might make you feel good, but there's no power. Only the Holy Ghost, only Jesus within us will bring the power, the presence of God within us. That's why I'm so fervent about letting you know that Jesus Christ, period, is the answer. He's the answer to everything. Anything that you come in your life, Jesus Christ is the answer. And if we call ourselves children of God, we need to start acting like God's children. You see, we need to start acting like that and start doing the things that God has called us to do. And I'm so thankful that the people in this church here, You know, they're living for Jesus. You know, as I look out, I see so many people. You know, when you first came in here, you was a hot mess. Hot mess. But I'm seeing you growing in Christ. I'm seeing you that this is something real that you are involved in now, that you're living in now. None of us are perfect. Like I say, none of us are. But I've seen the growth and the change in a lot of you people's lives from what you was 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago to where you are now. And I'm so blessed and proud of you. You know, when I'm at the pastor's conference and things, I've told you, they always ask, like, oh, pastor, what you running in your church? They want to know numbers. See, when they ask you what you're running, they want to know how many people in your church. Is your church growing? I tell you, our church is really growing. Well, how many people you got? I said, I don't know. Never count it. Never will. Never will. But I said, our church is growing. And what I mean by that, the church is you. And I see the growth within you. And so I thank you for that. But let me tell you something. We need to continue to grow. We need to continue to grow more and more and more every day. Every day. When we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, that's not an event. That's the start. That's the start of living a life for Jesus Christ. And it's a daily process. Moment by moment obedience. Moment by moment obedience is practical righteousness. Obedience. 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 I might get stuck right here, but I don't want to do this here. But every now and then, you might take a step back. Amen? Every now and then. But when you do take that step back, you confess, repent, obedience. Obedience, 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 each and every step, even that way. How do we walk in obedience? I'm glad you asked me. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thy own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. Paths. Because we have paths in life that we take. The path that you take, brother, might not be the same path that I take. Because you're a single dad with 2 kids, man. I take my hat off to you. You know, I'm so thankful of you, you know, of dealing with them 2 boys. Because you got 2 boys. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the oldest one, every now and then, he likes to thump his little brother in the head. Yeah. Anyway, who did this? He did it. No, he did it. No, you did it. You know, but anyway, you know, we all have different paths in life. But if we have the word in us, and if you have the word in us, you got the light in you. See, that's all the same thing. If you got the word, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me walks in light, but he who does not walk in darkness. You see. So it all comes back to that word that's within each and every one of us. Light our paths in life so we don't stumble. You know, when I'm going to say it. In the middle of the night, sometimes we got to get up. Right? When you get older, it's more frequent. And you know your bedroom because you've been in there for I don't know how long, right? So some of you, you know, get up, you know, you mean got your eyes are closed, you got one about half open, and you. But every now and then, if you walk in that darkness, you'll stomp that toe on the edge of the bed or your knee or something on the edge of the bed. And that's because you're walking in darkness and you cannot see. And you walk into that. And when you walk in and stub your toe or hit yourself on something, does that make you feel good? Do you say, oh, praise the Lord, this is great? Absolutely not. No, you don't. And that's the same thing with things in life. When we walk in the darkness, we stumble, we run into things, you know, things happen in our lives that makes us feel bad and look bad. But if we wake up in the night, like me, I got me a little nightlight now. It's not that I'm afraid of the dark much. No, I'm just kidding. Not that I'm afraid of the dark, but I've stubbed my toe enough times. You understand what I'm saying? That I'm not going to continue to do this. You hear what I'm saying? I had to go through it several times. You would think I would know after the first time. But no, no, no. Yeah, I'm get up again. Bam!
Yo, I've done that.
How many times have I got to keep doing this? So guess what? I'm going to get me a little nightlight. Get me a light for nighttime. So when I do get up now and I got that one eye open, that light shines where the edge of that bed or the table or the chair, I can see it. And so now I do this here. No, it ain't no butterfly. No, I don't have no butterfly nightlight. I got King Kong. No. No, ain't nothing wrong with butterfly nightlights if you got one. You know, ain't nothing wrong with it. Absolutely not. And then I also have a flashlight on the table next to my bed. Because if I hear noise, and you know it, and you know it. Yeah, you know, because, you know, we have George and his family that lives here. Y'all know who George is? It's the bat. Yeah, we got bats up in here. I was doing a wedding years ago. We were standing right here. I'm doing the vows. You know, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? You know, for better or for worse, for richer and poor, you know, sickness and health. And all of a sudden, George comes out. She screamed. All of the women screamed, ducked, and she says, I knew it's a sign. I'm not going to marry you. It's a sign. I said, no, it's not a sign. I said, that's George. He lives here. He lives back up in the things back up in there. And he got relatives that live downstairs in the fellowship hall. Yes. You know, and I'm sitting up in my dwelling place up there, my parsonage. And I'm sitting up there sometimes at night, and all of a sudden, shoo, and I have a tennis racket. But even though I have a tennis racket, they alarm me. They alarm me. I don't like it. I'm going to like it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know they're God's creatures. I know He created them for a purpose. But please stay out of my parsonage. Stay out of the church. But so many people, churches and different things, I've talked to other pastors, said, oh, we got them too. We got George's brother, Jimmy. But anyway, so from time to time, you know, that light will make you not stumble and hurt yourself or hurt somebody else. The word light to show us the way to Jesus. Now, go to Proverbs 6 and 23. Proverbs 6 and 23. Are you there? For the commandments is a lamp. For the commandments is a lamp. What are the commandments? Love the Lord thy God. That's a great commandment. Love the Lord thy God. And then we have the other 10 commandments. Right? It says the commandments. Wait a minute. 23, here we go. For the commandments is a lamp. So those things that God gives us to do, how to live, it's a lamp. It shows us. Now, this is the good thing. And the law is light. Now, we don't live under the law anymore. But there's still a law that we have to obey. Let me ask you this. You're driving down 81 or driving down Arsenal Street. You know what I mean? And you know Arsenal Street is 30 miles an hour. 81 is 65 miles an hour. And so you're driving down Arsenal Street 40, 45 miles an hour. And all of a sudden, you look and you see the police car coming. Do you continue on doing that? What do? You hit that brake. You hit that brake. Why? Because you're breaking the law. You know, and there's things that in the Bible that we should not be breaking the law. So anyway, we don't live under the law because, you know, what back in the Old Testament, they had Levitical laws and they had all the things that you could eat, that you couldn't eat. You know what I mean? When to have your services, you know, you had the Sabbath on a Saturday. You know, you had all the type of different things that you do, you know, your hand washing and all that type of stuff that you'd have to do, your tithing and tithing mints and everything else. And speaking of tithing, that's in the New Testament too. For those of you who are talking about, oh, that's in the law. You know, that's in the New Testament too, the law. Matter of fact, Dan Larkins, he every time he comes, he talks about tithing. You know, Old Testament, New Testament. Do I have to call him up here again for y'all?
No.
Anyway, it says, for the commandments is a lamp and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Now, this is what I want to say. And the reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Do you know when Saul, when he was a Pharisee, the greatest mass murderer in the history of mankind, it says that he was on going to Damascus to find and get the people in the way. That's what they used to call Christians. Before Christians, they would call you're in the way. In the way of what? In the way of God. In the way of Jesus. I have the ways of God in me. I have the ways of Jesus in me. And it says, if we have that way in us, we will not stumble. We will not fall. We will see where and how God will lead us each and every day. Not our own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. I'm going to share this with you. My plans last year was January 1st of this year, I was going to be reassigned. I was going to transition from being your pastor. I'm just being honest. You know, my plans was January the 1st was going to be my last day of being the pastor. Now, I'm never going to retire. I don't ever believe that pastors or ministers retire, but there's transitioning. You understand what I'm saying? Into a different ministry or doing something else. But, you know, after 25 years of pastoring, after 25 years of being in the trenches, you know, I just felt it was time for me. Now, that was, I said last year, I've talked to the elders about it, and we've talked to the board about it and everything. But today is what? Is it past the 1st of January?
Yeah.
Am I still here?
Yeah.
You see, that was my understanding. And God said, that ain't my understanding. That ain't my understanding, Mr. Man. It's not your time yet, Mr. Man. You know, and so, you know, I put my head down and stomp. But, you know, God will give me what I need to press on until he tells me, now it's time for you to transition, Mr. Man. But you know what? I was thinking about this. I am so blessed and proud that when I was away, this body continued to function. The body continued to function. You continue to be here. You know, we had people, you know, to do Bible studies. Brother Ivan, Brother Tim, you know, Elder Paul. And then we had Elder House, you know what I mean? He had spoke one Sunday. He didn't know that I had somebody else that was supposed to do that second Sunday. But I guess they called Elder and said they couldn't do it. So he called Elder Tom instead of him doing it himself. He called Elder Tom. Uh-huh. Yep. But I'm so thankful that the church, this church, will continue on. Because this is not my church. This is God's church. You understand what I'm saying? Absolutely it is. And there will come a time when a transition will happen. There will come a time. I want you to know that. Do I know when it is? No, I don't have a date. I ain't going to do that again. I ain't going to do that again. You know, whenever the Lord says, okay, all right now, and I will give you a forewarning, I'm not just going to not be here one Sunday and be gone. I would never do that to you. There's been times when I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah. Do you know how many pastors get burnt out and leave the ministry per year? It's a great, I used to know the number of them. I can't remember now, but it's a high number. Every year, pastors get burnt out and leave the ministry, or they're removed from the ministry for one thing or another, whatever it might be. You know, I'm fighting the good fight. You know, I want to continue on until the Lord tells me, okay, now it's time, young man. Now it's time for you to be transitioned to something else. You know, I love all of y'all dearly, and I mean that. I love you all dearly. You know, when I was gone, I thought about all of you. You know, I could, in my mind, I could picture, because, you know, y'all like to sit where y'all like to sit. There's only two people here got reserved seats. And one of them, she's sitting in there now, Miss Streeter. And Miss Remington got the other one. Because they have over 120 years of service in this church between the two of them. So when y'all get 100 and something years, you can get you a seat too. But, you know, thank God, you know, that we don't have a big crowd of people that will come in and take your seats. And I know if somebody come in, a visitor, and they sit in your seat, you're going to be polite and move somewhere else instead of coming up and talking about, this is my seat. No. We only got two seats that's reserved. And I'm so thankful, Miss Streeter, being here. I'm so thankful, you know, that she's here. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's been a good and faithful servant. Yes. She's the matriarch of the church here. So praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for her. And I mean that. But for the rest of us, sit where you can. But some of y'all like to sit different places. I was talking to Mr. Marzano this morning. I said, you done moved from where you used to sit at. You used to sit back in the back. I said, did your son do something to you make you leave? He said, no. He said, I can't understand a lot of people. He said, I need to get closer so I can hear them. Can't understand. He said, I can't hear, you know, sometime. He said, but I can hear you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. God has blessed me, you know, with a mouth. Amen. Mouth got me in trouble when I was younger. You know, I told you I used to get a whooping. And they say, oh, it's going to hurt me more. It's going to hurt you. I said, well, let's not neither one of us hurt. And I'd get it worse. Ah, you got a smart mouth. Back talk. You know, back when I was a kid, they talk back talk. I'll smack the teeth out of you, boy. Huh? I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. Nowadays is a little different. Time out. We didn't have no time out. Time out. We didn't know nothing about no time out. Yeah. Your time out was get upstairs and wait till your daddy get home. Woo! Or they would give you a lecture. Just whoop me and get it over with. Just go ahead and whoop me and get over with. All of that. But anyway, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one who directs our path. Jesus is the one who gives us what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Each and every day, all day long. So we need to understand, what path am I taking? What path am I walking in today? And what path do I want to walk in today? Do I want to walk in the path that Jesus Christ directs me? That Jesus Christ guides me through the Holy Spirit? He said the Holy Spirit will bring you into all truth and all righteousness. So when we're living for Jesus Christ, that word is in us, that lamp is within us. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that, you know, that we're trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. We're not leaning on what we think. All in my heart, Pastor, I think, no, your heart is desperately wicked. No. Not within you. What does the Word of God say about it? What does the Word say how we should live? What does the Word say about how we should deal with different people? Or all people? What does the Word say about it? You know, there was things in the Bible that I didn't care for when I first got saved. And the pastor told me, this is not a smorgasbord. You can't pick and choose what you like. But as I started growing more and more in the Lord, and that Word started just pumping in me, and the light started shining through me more and more and more, I started realizing I can't do it my way anymore. I got to do it God's way, because I'm in the way now, in the way of Jesus. I have to get into the Word of God to see how He wants me to live, what He wants me to do and what not to do. You understand what I'm saying? I have to get into that. I have to get into the Word of God. So let's not be those 3-minute read your word Christians. Let's get into, we can do everything else more than 3 minutes. So why not get in God's Word? And speaking with that, we have new daily breads that goes March, April, and May, because the day is the something. We're getting close to March. Yep. We're getting close to March. So if you want the new daily breads, they're over there. Aren't they? Are they over there? Okay, they're over there. So take the daily breads. Let me tell you something. It's a easy, short read. And I can't tell you how many times that reading the daily bread, it applies and write exactly what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. But, you know, daily bread is a good start. But we need to get in God's Word. We need to spend time in God's Word every day, y'all. What if we give, if God gives us what we gave Him? Where would we be, church? Exactly. Where would we be? But I'm here to tell you today that God loves you. And the reason I know that He loves you is because He sent His only begotten Son. Amen. That's how. Whenever you feel like God don't love you, all you got to do is look to the cross. Yep. All you have to do is look to the cross. Yep. You say, well, how much does God love me? This much. On the cross. Yep. When they lifted Him high and stretched Him wide. That's how much He loves us. And when you know that you're loved, you do better. Right? You want to, the person who loves you, you want to be pleasing to them. Because that affection. But God loves us so much. We have no idea of the range of God's love. Don't ever, ever, ever think that God don't love you. But the enemy here whispering in your ear, God didn't answer your prayer because He don't love you. All prayers are answered. Yes, no, wait, another time, in due time, or whatever it is. Like I said, it might be no. We don't like to hear the word no, do we? No. But once again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We got 3 more hours. Oh, well, some of y'all squirming right now. If anybody's here this morning and you don't have that word in you, you don't have that light in you, or, you know what I mean, that light has grown dim. The word has gotten real, real little within you. For whatever reason, you can come today and let him fan the flames. Let him fan the flame. Let that light get hotter. Let that flame get hotter. Let that word get more and more and more and bigger and bigger and bigger and more powerful, more powerful, more powerful within you. That you just don't live a life of feeling like you don't matter, feeling like you're not living up to God's standard, or you're not, you know, whatever it might be. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But the enemy will like to tell you, oh, you're not loved. Don't matter. That's a lie from the devil. Yep. You do matter. You are somebody. Because my Bible tells me that we are created in the image and the likeness of God. You are somebody. God don't make no mistakes and he don't make no junk. You hear what I'm saying? God don't make no mistakes and he don't make no junk. But from time to time, we're not following the light and we stumble. So if you're here tonight or today, and you know you need a fresh touch, or you need a first touch, the altar's open for you. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed, you know, to come forward. If you need something from God, don't be embarrassed. Come and say, Lord, you know me. You have searched me. You know my heart. You know what's in me. And I want it better. Lord, I need more of you in me. I need more and more of you in me. You know, there's a song they sing, I need a little bit more of Jesus. No, I need all of Jesus. I don't need no little bit more of Jesus. I want all of Jesus in me. So it'd be all Jesus and none of me. But you know, we're pressing every day. More Jesus and less of me. More Jesus and less of me. More Jesus and less of me. To get to the point where it's, I'm gone. So if you're here this morning and you want a fresh touch or a first touch, he's here this morning. Let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I sense the presence this morning. Mm-hmm. I sense the presence of God this morning. You know, God is always here. You know that. God is always here. But a lot of times, you know, we don't sense his presence. And you can't have them by the 5 senses. You can't see, can't hear it, can't taste it, can't smell it, can't touch it. But your spirit will bear witness of his spirit. You see, that's how you know that you know that you know that you're in fellowship. You know, so many times, you know, God is always here. But sometimes, you know, we do things to break fellowship with him. So if you're feeling empty or alone, you can come today and join back in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, you go ahead and sit down, sister. Yes. For those of you who are up here, you know, and each and every one of y'all, I know you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you know, but what you're doing now is asking for more, not a little bit more, a lot more. for that word and that light to get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger within each and every one of us. And let me tell you something. Some of y'all out here, y'all know y'all should be up here too. But for whatever reason why you're in there, that's all right, because God will meet you in your seat if you're really honest with him. Lord, I need more of you. So as I pray this prayer, whatever it is, you might not even know what you're lacking. And then some of you do know what's going on. But it needs to be changed. It needs to be changed. So Father, we come before you today giving you honor, glory, and praise. Lord, I thank you for all those who are up front here. I thank you for those who are still sitting in their seats. I ask, oh Father God, that you would just open up heaven and pour out more and more and more of your spirit within all of us. That rivers of living water to flow through us continually. That we will do nothing to block that river, Lord, of waters flowing through us. That we'll be open vessels, willing vessels. That as you say, Lord, draw near to you and you'll draw near to us. So we're drawing closer to you today, Lord. We're asking for more and more and more of that living water to flow through us here today, Lord. That we'll be forever changed. That we will walk in the word and that we will walk in the light and not walk in the darkness. So, Lord, I ask, Father God, that you'll put people in the path of our lives. That we will be that light to show them that they're walking in the darkness. And not to be arrogant, not to be prideful, not to be boastful. But Lord, let them know that we too used to walk in darkness. But now we are walking in the light of Jesus Christ. So Lord, I just want to say thank you for each and every person that's here. Not only standing up here, but sitting in the seats also. And I just ask, Father God, as we walk out of here today, the things that you have spoken through me will resonate, that we will meditate and apply it to our daily lives, to walk in the word and to be that light and salt that you've called us to be. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen.